Welcome, Bishop Sospeter Ndenza from Tanzania, the Diocese of Kibondo. Many of you are going to be familiar with him. He comes once a year. We wish you could come more, but we understand that's not always possible. We pray for him every Sunday, and it is a great joy that the Lord has blessed us, St. Andrews, with this tremendous partnership, not only with the bishop, but with all of the people in the Diocese of Kibondo. We're seeing the Lord do mighty things there, and it's a great blessing. One thing I want to share just before I turn it over to Bishop Sospeter is this. When I think about this this dear friend of mine, I think about the words from Psalm 100 because he exudes them with his life. The psalmist writes, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing." I wish you could see him at work in the parishes of his diocese. This man comes with a joyful heart, truly with singing and dancing. And it's a great joy to have you here. May I pray for you before you lead us. Father, we're grateful that you would send such a tremendous saint of yours among us this morning. Pray that you would anoint him with the power of your Holy Spirit. Father, speak through him. Open our hearts to hear and receive. Lord, may we be changed by your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Good morning. Good morning. It's an honor and a pleasure to be here again. And I always like and love to come back. I bring many greetings from the Diocese of Kibondo. All the churches, the priests and the laity, they send their love to you. My wife Betty and our daughter Rose, who is home now, they all send their love to you. Just want to really express my sincere gratitude and thanks and appreciation for the love and the prayers and the support that St. Andrews is giving us. It means a lot, and we really appreciate for your prayers and your support. Thank you very, very much. It's hard to thank you enough, but we love you, and we pray for you every Sunday. And mostly all the clergy and the staff, we pray for them every week. So we remember you, and it's good to be here. Thank you very much. The sermon today, my sermon today is a call to a new lifestyle in Christ. And this comes from the reading we just had, St. Matthew, the 5th chapter, beginning the 21st verse. When Jesus started his ministry, he gave instruction to his disciples concerning the nature of the life in the kingdom of God. He made a clear, conscious challenge to both leaders and his disciples that in our lives, as followers of God, we have to live a new lifestyle that will have a great impact on the world. Jesus made a profound shift, a new lifestyle, a complete turning on what it means to be the follower of God. That we should turn from the old pattern and take his new way of life. That Christian life is more about love and a relationship. First, between God and his people. Secondly, from his people to one another. It is about peace and justice. According to the reading of the gospel we have just heard, you find a list of things that a Christian need to avoid entirely. in order to maintain the relationship with God. Those other things have become a pattern of our daily lives today. When you hear the media about what is going on in the world, it is indeed devastating. Many bad things are happening every day and in every corner of the world. This is not the way Christian should live. Jesus came with a new lifestyle that is beyond our human understanding. See what he says. You have heard that it was said whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother or sisters will be liable to judgment. According to the Old Testament law, murder carried the death penalty. Therefore, murder was completely prohibited to any human being because we are all created in God's image, and no one has the right to take away others' life. Likewise, on the issue of anger, it is an act in which leads to damaging or destroying the person, either in some other way or literally in the form of murder. Even calling someone a fool is closely related to anger. In that way, it represents a destructive act on one's character and identity. So Jesus warns them that the person who violates others, other person, in this grievous way, is liable to the hell of fire. How many times do we get angry and take a bad decision against others? In Africa, you hear some devastating stories. Husband beating wives. In Kenya, it is even vice versa. Wives beating husband. And a child of 5 years or more being burned badly on her or his hands because of stealing 1 Tanzanian shillings, which worthy of 1/20th of penny or a dollar. Can you imagine such an action which comes out of anger? This is one of the things we all struggle with. What Jesus is saying here is the fact that we are all weak and we fail to do what we were supposed to do. Therefore, we should always judge things wisely before we take any action. Paul puts it clearly when he says, "Be angry, but do not let the sun go down on your anger." But sometimes, due to our weaknesses, things do not always work out. We go beyond our control. As a result, we put ourselves and others in a danger. That is why Jesus is calling us today and to admit our weaknesses so that he can help us to go through these things. We need his intervention whenever we find things are not going well. A big problem is to try to fix things on our own. That is where we fail to meet him where he is. What you find in this passage has to do with our relationship with God and our neighbors. Firstly, the fact that there is no way you can love God. You can love God if you do not have good relationship with your neighbors, whom you interact with every day. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 11, we read, "Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother or sister is still in darkness." And in John 1, 4:20 says, "If anyone says, 'I love God,' and hate his brother or sister, he is a liar. For he who hates his brother or sister, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen." A friend of mine, one of my parishioners, came to me one day. She was having a very difficult heart problem with another church member. She tried to forget the problem, and though she had succeeded, but she found herself very angry inside whenever saw the other person in church. She thought she started it, and it is her fault. She tried to let it go, but she couldn't. In fact, she developed a serious health problem. The doctor said that something was troubling her, but she wouldn't admit it. This went on for almost a year. In the end, one night when she was asleep, she had a dream or a vision. And this was of a cross. On the cross was written all over in Swahili words saying, "Forgive so that you are healed." This is a good news. Then she tried again, but she still couldn't. It was until she admitted this to God in her prayers and asking for his help to forgive, that she suddenly found the resentment was gone. And with the resentment, healing problem was gone too. And this is what we should always do when we have problem with our neighbors. We really need to admit our weaknesses to ourselves and to God, and allow God to help us. There is a saying that if you have, let me quote it, if Jesus is all you have all you need. At the end of the Matthew chapter, we read from Jesus made it clear that you have heard that it was said, "You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be the son and daughters of my Father who is in heaven." This is indeed where we need to ask for help. It is not easy to pray for a person who hates you or who has caused you great pain. How can you love your enemy? This is impossible. What I believe Jesus wanted is for us to realize our weaknesses, that without him, we cannot do it. We need him. The time, and especially when we find things are getting difficult. However, we tend to forget how much we might have caused the same or even greater pain to others. Brothers and sisters, we are not perfect yet. We need God's grace and forgiveness. I believe Jesus is calling us to unconditional love and a relationship, because we are all God's people, created in His own image. Therefore, we should always think about others first, and then ourselves. Paul in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 27 says, "Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbors." Do good to all people. This message was not well understood by the leaders and even the disciples in Jesus' time. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 32, we read, "If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? And for even sinners, love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same." Yet, is this not what we do always? How can we make Jesus known to other people? Well, how do we relate with our friends, our neighbors, our strangers, fellow Christians, and non-Christians? Do we really have something special which can make other people see Christ in our daily lives? We need to ask God to help us so that other people who interact with us can say, "Yes, those are indeed God's people." And remember, the good news is, if Jesus is all you have all you need. Let us pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your care. And Father, we commit ourselves into your hands. We ask you, Lord, to help us. You know us well. We can't do it without you. Come, Holy Spirit, touch us, help us. In Jesus' name, amen.